When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into the Ravens Press Pass podcast. The NFL draft continued tonight for rounds 2 and 3, and the Ravens made a pair of picks. In the second round, they took offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, and then they followed that up in the third round with outside linebacker Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. We had a chance to talk with both of those prospects on Zoom calls after they were picked, as well as hearing from head coach John Harbaugh and general manager Eric DaCosta as they recapped the second day. Let's kick things off with EDC and Coach Harbaugh.
Well, guys, we're excited to have a pretty successful day today, I think, with our two picks. Roger Rosengarten, tackle that we've really been following since the Senior Bowl. We were fortunate as an underclassman with the rule changes. He was able to be down there this year. And we watched him at length and followed him and saw him at the combine. We interviewed him at the combine. He was a player that we had kind of had our sights set on today. He was one of our top players in the entire round today. I think fortunate that we got him when we did. It was a trend, as you guys saw, all those offensive linemen get picked after him. I think there were like 10 or 11 guys in a span of like maybe 20 picks. So we were fortunate, almost like with the corners yesterday, we got out in front of that trend. So it's a better to be at the front of those moves than at the end. And then with Adisa, my first school visit this year was the Penn State-West Virginia game. I have a daughter there at Penn State. I scouted Adisa. They had a lot of players on defense this year. And I love his body, love his frame, his upside. He's a very explosive player, very physical. Can be used in a lot of different ways. He's got a great story. Patrick McDonough, one of our scouts, did a phenomenal job scouting him. He was his Red Star player this year, which is kind of cool. And we just feel like he's a Raven type of guy, fits us in many different ways, mentality and with his just physical style of play. So we're excited to get him.
John, we talked to Rosengarten. He said in your combine visit, it didn't even go the full length, and he said you told him he checked all the boxes. What would lead you to say that?
Well, it might have been about the seventh or eighth interview in a row, back to back. They stacked it up on us, so we needed a break. But he came in there and just we try to focus on football. You know, we do a lot of our scouts do a great job of uncovering all the other stuff. And if something needs to be asked, Eric will do a great job of asking questions. But we try to get in there with football, and he was just so on point. He was on point. He knew his technique. He knew his assignments. He was very self-aware of the things he needed to get better at. And he just seemed like a motivated guy. He seemed like a Raven. Like both these two guys were just our kind of guys. So, you know, we needed a break, and he checked all the boxes.
John, he seems to like he plays on the right side, right tackle. Do you think there's a chance that he can come in and start immediately?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we draft him with that idea that he'll compete for that. You know, that's the idea. All these guys will be competing for playing time and opportunities to start, in his case, right. And, we're gonna look at him everywhere. He can play guard if we needed him to, and he can play left tackle if we need him to. We're just going to let, you know, roll the offensive line out there and let him compete.
Eric, how do you see Isaac's pass rushing skills translate to the NFL? Does he need more development, or can he come in and make an immediate impact?
I mean, I think most of these guys need some development when they get to this level as pass rushers. But what I like about him is he's got great length, which is a critical factor. He's got heavy hands. He's got some different moves. He's got speed and quickness. And I think he's tenacious. And so I think all of those things, when you think about our best pass rushers, I think those are a lot of the traits that those guys have. And so we're very excited. I watched, you know, a lot of offensive linemen this year in the Big Ten. Obviously, we have a need at that position. And so I watched a lot of these guys. And Adis is a guy that kind of wreaked havoc in the Big Ten this year.
Eric, you guys are obviously talking a lot about your best player available team. You go into day three of the draft and probably check out arguably your three biggest needs. Is that just how the board fell? Was this particularly a draft that was kind of conducive to you being able to get that stuff done for 2 days?
Well, I think, you know, so far we've gotten pretty lucky. You know, I talked about trading up yesterday, and, you know, I was tempted at one point. I got scared today a little bit, but we just stayed patient, and we were fortunate. You know, I think when your need and best player kind of match up, then you really have something special, and I think that's happened a couple times for us, and so it's good. You know, I think tomorrow we're in a position where we're just basically open highway, and we can just sit back and just draft the best guys that we see in the board without any real thought to, like, position or how they're going to fit roster-wise. We're just going to draft the best football players.
When you, I think it was after the Rosengarten pick, the TV cameras showed you, at least on the ESPN broadcast, showed you kind of had a conversation with Steve. Was that over, possibly, the trade-up opportunity not doing it?
No, I think I asked him if I could have a glass of red wine in the draft room at that point. But yeah, I don't know. We were happy. I don't know what we were talking about. I think we had there was a team that had called us about trading up to our spot, and we had considered it. And I don't want to, you know, really give away too much, but a team that was just behind us called us about trading up, and then they decided to not do it. And so we drafted Roger, and then they did trade up right behind us and took a different tackle. And, you know, there's a theory that they were drafting Roger. So that's what we were talking about, I think. Just we got lucky that we didn't go back a few spots because we might have missed out on the guy that we wanted. You know, you'd think if you go back two spots, pretty good chance to get your guy. But there's a chance we might have been disappointed.
When we read the reports on Roger, a lot of talk about how great his mobility is. Where's the greatest area for him to grow? Is it power, or you know, where can he make the biggest strides, I guess?
Well, he's young. He's a young player. You guys will see him. I mean, he's young. He's going to get stronger. We'll get him in the weight room. He's a very gifted athlete. He's played some left tackle. He played left tackle at the Senior Bowl. Very good feet, body mechanics, change of direction, agility. He's just got to get physically stronger, as a lot of guys do, you know, and so he will. He'll fill out and get stronger. We have a great strength program, and he'll see quick results, I think.
Along those lines, two things. How significant was the mobility in the decision given direction of the offense, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, pass protection-wise, you know, the guys that really kind of flourish at our level are the guys that have enough strength and the guys that can really move their feet. And that's, you know, that's great. I mean, in our offense, you know, we do a lot of things out in space. Guys have to be able to pull. And, you know, our screen game was good this year. And, you know, we get these guys out there and we have fast players. And our quarterback, obviously, is a tremendous athlete. So, you know, you want guys that are mobile. We want big, strong guys, but we want these guys to be mobile too.
And secondly, was there any consideration of wide receiver in the third round, or is it just one of those situations? Obviously, you'd like the guy you got, and it's a pretty key receiver class.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have to try and do in that in a situation is look at your needs and who's the best player available, and then what are your chances, I think, getting a player at these other positions in the coming rounds. And so we've got a pick in, I don't know, what is it, 13 picks away, 14, 15 picks away, whatever that is, I don't know. So we have to kind of assess who we think is going to be there at that pick. And then we have another pick after that in the fourth round. And so everything we do is based on percentages. And so, again, I'll give Derek Yam credit. He said today at the start of the day there was an 80% chance that we would get Roger Rosengarten, 80%. And I said, that seems kind of high to me. And he got kind of nervous and goes, yeah, it seems kind of high to me too. But we got him, so he's a free man.
How much does it factor into evaluating Roger, who's a right tackle, but covering the blind side for one left hand quarterback like Penix, and is there added value in him doing that job?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. And he's just an athletic guy. When you watch the tape, like Eric had mentioned, he's young, but he can move his feet. I think Brian was kind of talking about that, the athleticism part of it. He can move, so it's not going to be a challenge for him to go either way. He's young. We'll bring him in. All these guys we look at, especially early on, they'll be in a mini camp in here next weekend, and he'll be playing both sides and just see what they look like and kind of see how it shakes out over the course of mini camp, training camp, and all that. But the fact that he was with the left-handed quarterback on the right side, I think, is kind of part of that, yeah.
What do you see in Isaac? What do you kind of – how does he project in your defense?
Well, I saw a guy on tape that makes a lot of plays, and he does it in a real athletic way. I mean, he's a very athletic guy, very explosive starter, very can cover ground. He can get to the edge of a tackle and beat him on the edge with quickness or beat him underneath with quickness, and then – you know, long arm power, he's got that too. So he's got some real pass rush ability. He's heavy-handed against the run. So for us, he's going to be in the rotation, just like last year. And he's probably, from a number standpoint, you know, in Jadavian's spot with those guys. So you got all those guys back. We're going to add David, you know, because he's going to be healthy. We got Van Noy back, and then we got our other guys. So who are, you know, I mean, we got a pretty good group out there coming off the edge, setting the edge, outside backers, defensive ends. And he's going to be a part of that. So I like having fresh guys out there playing really hard, you know, and especially at that position.
Your evaluation of athletic pass rushers change at all because you guys do have Chuck Smith, who is one of the best at kind of crafting, you know, skill out of maybe some rougher edges.
Yeah. You know, I think, Jonas, I really pay attention to Chuck. I mean, when he talks, I listen because he is a great pass rush specialist. And he's looking for specific traits, and he gets excited by certain guys, and I like that. I love his enthusiasm. He's a joy to work with in the draft meetings because he if he loves a guy, and that's exciting. That's what you want as an evaluator and as a guy that kind of organizes the draft. You really want, you know, your scouts and your coaches to take ownership of certain guys and get on the table for guys, and Chuck does that, and he's a great coach. And so if he sees these traits in somebody, I get excited. I think we all saw how our guys developed last year and emerged and what we did, and I think Chuck's a big part of that.
Eric, has anything about the big picture of the draft surprised you so far? I mean, have any of the positional runs happened at different times than you expected maybe?
Well, I just think it's, you know, we feel fortunate because, you know, we took Nate and then we saw all those corners go at the beginning today. Like, all of the guys we like to get picked. And then we took Roger, and then, I mean, I've never seen anything like what we saw today, where every single guard and tackle on the front board got picked in a span of 20 picks. Never seen that before. So that was kind of surprising. It's just been, it seems like if you're going to define this draft, it's the draft of the run, because you saw the quarterbacks in the first round. And then you saw the corners kind of at the end of the second, into the first, and then for the end of the second into the third, you saw the offensive alignment. So it's been unusual.
Is that a big part of Derek Yam's kind of job is and your job is analyzing where's that run going to start? How can we get ahead of that run or early in that run at least?
Yeah, you know, I try to do that. I think I study that list, the damn list. I have it and I study it, and you just kind of, if you look at it long enough, you start to see patterns. And I did feel, I can't say that I thought the offensive line would work out like it did today, because I actually thought that we would have an opportunity tomorrow to get some pretty good offensive linemen. But at the corner position, I did kind of see there was a trap that if you didn't get a corner in the first round and you weren't picking high in the second, you were going to be in trouble. I did see that. And I think that was the case.
Either Eric or John, I think Rosengarten obviously was coming off that kind of disappointing end to that Washington-Michigan game. Was he as high on your radar, or as central on your radar going into the Senior Bowl than when he left it? I mean, did you guys already really like him going into Mobile, or did he kind of open your guys' eyes to how good of a prospect he was there?
Well, you know, we went to the national championship, John and I. We were blessed to be able to go to that game, and it was a great result, as John would say, and a fun night. And You know, I'll be honest. Like I did scout a little bit, but I was really just kind of taken in the atmosphere of the game at that point. I didn't know a lot about Roger at that point. My first real, you know, exposure was at the Senior Bowl, and I was very impressed by him. Came back and before the draft meetings, watched his tape, was more impressed, and then he, you know, went to the combine, interviewed him. Super impressive guy, great background, great makeup, and so that's kind of what happened with that.
Eric, just the day before the draft, you got the deal done with Rashad Bateman. Just, you know, what's the significance of that deal done, and what, if any, impact did that have on kind of your approach over the first year of the draft?
Yeah, you know, Rashad's a player that I've said it a million times, and I think Coach would say the same thing. Like, I am extremely excited to watch Rashad this year. I think his best football's ahead of him, and so to get him back was kind of a no-brainer. It's something he wanted. It's something we wanted. When both sides kind of see the same goal, then it's easy to kind of accomplish. And so I just feel like he's a really, really talented player who's had some bad luck with injuries. I think he's got a very bright future, and I'm excited to watch him play.
Two more. One more. You got it.
See you guys tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks.
So they're certainly excited about these moves. And now let's hear from offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten, who the Ravens took in the second round at pick number 62.
Hey, congratulations, Roger. You're obviously known for your pass blocking at Washington. How have you kind of sunk in? How's it going to feel to be a pass blocking for Lamar Jackson?
I mean, as soon as I heard Baltimore, you know, that's first thing that came to my mind, blocking for Lamar, an elite level quarterback, an MVP level quarterback. I mean, it's a dream come true. I mean, Baltimore is one of those places where it's been a historic program for such a long time. And just to hear my name called and have everybody in the staff come and congratulate me, it was such a great feeling.
We'll go to Garrett Downing.
Hey, Roger, congratulations. For you, obviously you played a right tackle at Washington. Just kind of, what do you feel like is your best position here at the NFL level? And how do you feel like your game projects to this next level?
Yeah. I mean, I'm most for sure comfortable with tackle, both tackles. I grew up playing left and then kind of got switched over to right. But, you know, my main thing is I just want to come in and compete and, you know, earn wins, help this team earn wins for the program. And, it means a lot to me that, Baltimore, chose me at this position. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in playing offensive line, especially offensive tackle. So,
Jeff Zeribek.
Roger, what was your level of interaction with the Ravens? Did you come to Baltimore for a pre-draft visit? Did you meet with them at the combine? And did you kind of have a feeling that they were going to be one of the teams that was going to be interested in you here in that second round?
Yeah. I mean, I met with them first at Senior Bowl, kind of briefly within the scouts. And then I think that progressed on to a combine visit, and I had a formal meeting with them, and that went super well. I remember you have the allotted 17 or 20 minutes, whatever it was, and our meeting ended up going 10 minutes. Coach Harbaugh and the offensive line coach and the rest of the staff really said, hey, man, like you check all the boxes. I mean, there's no need to spend all 17 minutes on this. So I knew from there. My meeting went super well with them at the combine, and then I didn't end up doing a 30 visit, but that's kind of all the extent was. And yeah.
We'll go Childs Walker and then Ryan Mink.
Yeah. Hey, Roger, congratulations. Where do you feel like you have the most room to grow in your game?
Yeah. I mean, for me as an offensive lineman, I feel I'm my own biggest critic. You know, I feel like there's a super, it's unbelievable to say, but I think there's a lot in my games that I need to critique and get better at, you know. So when it comes back to game film, I wish I could give you one strong answer, but I mean, I got a whole lot to work on my game. You know, my game isn't perfect, but, you know, I feel like I have certain strengths in certain areas and certain weaknesses in areas. But I mean, it's all brought in on offensive line. It could be get off. It could be hand placement, A to Z, really. So.
Ryan Mink.
Roger, congratulations. Yeah, I just want to build off those strengths that you see. Where do you feel like right now are the biggest strengths in your game?
Yeah, I mean, just coming from college, we were pass-heavy offense. So obviously I feel very confident in my pass set, but also my run blocking. I feel like my run blocking is underrated. We were kind of in that spread offense, kind of spread offense, run scheme, zone scheme. But I mean, it doesn't matter what scheme it is. I mean, I feel confident within run pass, screens, getting out in space. I just feel confident in all. So
we'll go to Brian Wacker and then Gianna Han.
Hey, Roger, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, you mentioned your run blocking. Obviously, Derrick Henry here, just got here. How excited kind of are you to be able to block for him? And sort of how familiar are you with the Ravens scheme and what Todd Monken likes to do and so forth?
Yeah. As soon as you brought up Derrick Henry, I mean, that was one of the first things when I thought Baltimore, you think Lamar, and then you think the new addition of Derrick Henry. You get a guy that high level running and a guy who runs hard, trusts his O-lineman. I know he loves his O-lineman from just watching him back when he was at Tennessee, and to see him now finally on Baltimore, it's super exciting. And just to know that I'm going to get reps at blocking for Derrick Henry, it's something that, you know, you don't really think of growing up watching him when he was at Alabama. And then he wins the Heisman, then kind of come full circle and get a block for a guy like that. It's super special.
Thank you.
Gianna?
Congratulations. Kind of going off of the last question and response, when it comes to blocking Lamar, what you've seen just watching him, is there anything unique that entails, since he is a very different type of quarterback? Obviously, he can lift your game, but is there anything you'll have to adjust to learn to play with Lamar?
No, I mean, I think obviously Lamar's one of his strong suits is his ability to scramble and get it out of the pocket. But a lot of that came with Mike Penix back at school. Before he kind of came to Washington and everyone saw him as a true pocket passer and seen what he can do in practice, he would definitely burge out and kind of get in that scramble mindset. And I learned to adapt to it very quickly. I mean, thankfully he didn't have to do that too much in games, but I mean, in practice it was on. And when it came to that scramble mentality that he had when it needs to be, and going from Lamar's standing there, and he'll grip it and rip it, but he'll also get out in the pocket when he needs to. So I'm excited.
We'll go Nikhil and then back to Jeff Zarebek.
Hi, Roger. Congratulations. Welcome to Baltimore. I know someone already asked you a little bit about what your feel is about Todd Monken's offense, but coming from that Washington offense, how do you feel like what you did in that Washington offense is going to translate directly to the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, just from Todd's offense, when he's in that gun formation, I know he trusts his offensive line very much so, especially the edges and the tackles. And, you know, I think just that supreme confidence of in his offensive line within the pass game and also run game, I mean, it speaks millions to what I could bring to the table and coming in and competing. And, yeah.
Roger, have you gotten a sense from the Ravens where – whether it's going to be the right or left side, or is it just not gotten specific yet with that?
And it hasn't gotten really specific. Obviously I think, you know, I played right, the majority of my career with my starts, but, I'm flexible to just come in and compete for both. You know, that's my main thing. I just want to come in and compete and, earn the respect of my teammates and, the coaches. And yeah.
We'll go to Kyle Barber.
Hey, Roger, congratulations. You know, in pass protecting for Michael Penix, being a left-handed quarterback, on the right side, you're essentially protecting his blind side. Just how translatable is that for your game on the right side with pass protection? Do you think that kind of gave you a benefit in refining your pass protection skills?
Absolutely. I mean, just knowing your blind side, you know, you got to sharpen up your edges. You know, you can't get loose on an edge and give up an edge pressure, because, you know, quarterback's not going to be able to see it. But, I mean, there's just those added extra I don't even think it's pressure to me. I think it's a privilege, you know, those privileges that come with the blind side. And, you know, especially my 2 years of starting and having that left-handed quarterback, you know, I ate all that pressure up and took it for all it was worth. So, yeah.
Ryan Mink and then Jonas Schaefer.
Yeah, Roger, one thing the draft pundits talked about is your weight at 310 at your pro day. Is that something, are you looking to put on more weight, or is that where you feel comfortable because of your great mobility?
Yeah, like you said, I just want to I just want to make sure I'm mobile, feel athletic. So I can probably range from 315 to 305. It really doesn't matter. I just want to feel strong, and especially mobile, feel athletic on the edge, and get out in space. So that's my main thing. So if that's 315, 320, 310, my weight can vary. I'm not like one strong weight. It could vary as long as I feel good at that weight, running around and taking sets and getting off on runs. I feel ready.
Hey, Roger, congratulations. Was there a offensive lineman for you growing up who you modeled your game after? And then secondly, did you kind of get a sense from the Ravens whether they would encourage your kind of aggressive style on pass sets? I mean, will you be bringing the 44 special to Baltimore? Or is that a little bit too far down the road?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I just want to come in and compete right away, you know, obviously I got to use the technique that coach wants to install. And, and coach has a really good plan for offensive linemen that come in. And, growing up, I watched a lot of the Joe Staley's. I'm thankful to have him in my corner training. And, I've heard stories about my old D-line coach in high school. Yeah, his name's Travis Kersky. He was UCLA teammates with Jonathan Ogden. And, he told me crazy stories of how Jonathan Ogden was such a legend over here. And, yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Ogden?
No, I didn't. I've heard he's one of the biggest humans, at least my D-line coaches, has ever met. And Travis Kersky was not a small individual, to say the least. So
we'll go to Brian Wacker and then close it out with Jeff Zarebek.
Hey, Roger, I know you're also a pretty good basketball player back in high school. Just how much, did that help, in terms of your footwork and mobility? And two, how do you think that translates, to your skill set?
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to my O-line meetings with Coach Huff, in the O-line room, basically what would happen was he's like, get to a good point, get to a good position to punch and pass pro. And then once you're there, it's basically just playing basketball with them. And that for me just clicked right away. Like you said, whether that's you're guarding the guy in the perimeter and interior, you block a guy with your feet first. And I find that very, very true with offensive line play. So, I mean, that basketball background definitely helps me out a ton. So
did you have a favorite basketball player growing up?
I wouldn't say I really had one, but I've really, being a Colorado kid and, I've really come to love Jokic's game, just how he plays and how he dominates, and it makes it look so easy. I think just bringing those same skill traits to offensive line and, I'd love to dominate and make it look easy, so.
Lastly, let's close it out with outside linebacker Adisa Isaac, who the Ravens took in the third round at pick number 93.
Congratulations. Just want to get your take on joining the Ravens. Were they a team that you felt like, was coming after you the whole time, that you had a good chance of landing with, or what's the emotions?
I mean, it was kind of, surprising. I mean, I had a good feeling of, the Ravens had, they had high hopes for me. They thought highly of me. So, I thought that it was a good fit. And, I have one of my former teammates, Adafe Owe. So, he helped recruit me to Penn State. So that's really, we were close. So just seeing that connection and seeing how, just how it ended up happening, it's amazing. Yeah.
We'll go to Gianna Han.
Hi, Adisa. Congrats. I know Eric DaCosta said that he was up there for the West Virginia game visiting his daughter, got to see you a bit. Did you talk to him at all during that visit? And I guess, what is it like having a GM whose daughter was, a classmate of yours?
Actually, I didn't see or talk to him during that game, but that's crazy, the amount of connection that the Ravens have with Penn State and just how many familiar faces and just connection. It's a small world. So just the fit itself is perfect.
We'll go to Brian Wacker.
Hey, Deesa, congratulations. Two quick things. How familiar are you with Adafi Owe and have you talked to him much or any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with him. He helped recruit me to Penn State. He's my host. And then we ended up playing together a couple of years before he left to go to the Ravens. So, you know, we're real tight, you know. He's from a similar area to me, so, you know, we have a lot of connections there. You know, he's a great teammate, great big brother to me coming into Penn State. You know, I just thank him for, you know, helping me when I first got there at the beginning. And then now for it to come full circle is a very unique situation.
And then just secondly, curious how your relationship with your siblings kind of impacted you growing up and so forth, and what kind of relationship you have with them.
You know, we're all close, and they're all nonverbal, so right. You know, people may think that it's challenging to communicate with them or whatnot, but I feel like just, you know, obviously growing up with them my whole life, they're just my siblings. That's how I look at them, my brothers, my sisters. My brothers, my sisters. So it's just, I mean, I treat them the same, so it's nothing new. And I feel like, you know, just like how you would teach your brother, talk to your brother. You know, we laugh, we joke, we you know, we play, fight, you know, just everything. So I love them to death, and you know, I thank them for, you know, just the motivation and inspiration throughout, you know, my lifetime. And just I thank them for everything. You know, they've been my rock, they're the reason I'm doing what I do.
We'll go to Clifton Brown.
Yeah, congratulations. At least it looked like things really clicked for you to your last couple of years at Penn State. Why do you think things clicked for you? And do you think that you're really kind of just scratching the surface, so to speak, because, you know, you kind of didn't have the, you know, early start in football that a lot of guys did?
Right. I feel like after I got hurt that 2021 season, and it just, you know, opened my mind to a lot, you know, just IQ, being able to watch more. And not have to physically do certain things. It puts more strain on your mindset. And that's kind of what I developed over that time in that year. And it made my play stronger. And I came back that 2022 season and then rolling into that 2023 season. And it just, you know, kind of building on what I took from rehab. And from just the grind from the injury, that adversity, it taught me a lot. It's good and bad. So just using all of that and kind of making a bundle of positivity. And it kind of swung me into that 23 season where, you know, I was extra confident, you know, farther away from the injury, you know, great coaching, and then I had, you know, better, stronger IQ for last year. So that was a credit to that one year where I was, you know, sitting in. It did a lot for us.
We'll go to Karita Parks and then Garrett Downing.
Aditha, you kind of alluded to it a bit, but I wanted to ask you, just bouncing back from that Achilles injury and just the perseverance that it took and the adversity that you faced, how do you think that that'll help you as you move forward to the next level?
It's going to help me tremendously. I feel like, you know, whatever adversity I run into moving forward, you know, it's just going to be something I know how to operate through, I know how to maneuver through, and it won't really be much of a hiccup, because I'm going to find a way to make it something positive and get the best out of it, whether it's good or bad. But I feel like it just grooms your mind to be able to handle adversity in a good way. So I mean, there's a lot of great things that come from. I don't want to make it seem like it's good to get hurt, but there's a lot of good things you can take away from having injuries and like that.
Hey, Disa, congratulations. Just, I guess, how would you describe yourself as a player and what the Ravens are getting in you?
I'll say I'm just a disruptive, very lengthy, bendy, twitchy, just violent player. So, like, I'm very versatile. And, you know, I can make plays from dropping, make plays from rushing, make plays from in the run game. So I'm just a very versatile player. You know, you can plug and play me anywhere. And I just feel like I bring a lot to the Ravens organization. And, you know, they obviously is a great tradition here. So I'm just excited to learn from all these coaches and players and just get better and, you know, do what I can to be the best version of myself to help this team in.
We'll go to Kyle Phoenix and then Childs Walker.
Hey, congratulations, Adisa. Is there a quarterback that you are most hoping to get a sack against? Is there anybody that comes to mind that you're excited about now that you're here?
I need that Mahomes sack, and I need that Josh Allen sack. I want to sack him just because I like his frame. You know, he's a bigger body, so, and he's kind of athletic, so it'll give me a little bit of challenge. And Lamar Jackson.
Congratulations. I was curious, do you know much about Chuck Smith, who is kind of the pass rush expert on the coaching staff? And is it exciting to you, the idea of kind of getting in the lab with somebody who will really drill down on the specifics of that craft?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've heard a lot about him throughout my college career. I've always heard the name Chuck Smith, and just never was able to put a face to it. So now, you know, just how I came to the circle, I'm able to, you know, work with him one-on-one now. So it's just amazing. I'm just excited that you're, you know, learn from, you know, like you said, there's a lot of great coaches and a lot of experience. So I'm just excited to, you know, just improve myself and meet all these exciting coaches and play.
We'll go to Ryan Mink.
Adisa, I'm just curious about the competition you had with Chop Robinson, your teammate out in Penn State, and do you expect a similar competition now reuniting with Odafe?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, before Chop came, you know, me and Odafe was the fast bro. So, I'm excited to kind of reunite that and, you know, get some friendly competition going again. And it's a little more sweeter in this state. So I'm just excited.
Gianna Han?
Between, Odafe being on the team and the Ravens' defensive success, I'm curious how much you watched him through this last season, if anything stuck out to you about why they found so much success and why you think you would fit in with all of that.
Yeah, Odafe is a hell of a player. And, you know, I've been watching him since he came to Penn State. So just seeing how he's evolved and seeing the plays that he's making on the Ravens, you know, his first year, rookie year, it's amazing. And it shows, you know, the type of caliber player he is, you know, that he's a tremendous athlete. But, you know, he has a tremendous skill set that, you know, you can use him anywhere. You know, he's a great athlete. So just taking certain things from his game, seeing how he kind of approaches tackles, using his hand, and just kind of take certain moves from him that I feel like, you know, it can fit in my team. I feel like we have a similar skill set in NFL, so I can kind of steal some of his moves. Which is why, you know, we kind of click so much because you do a lot of things so much similar. I'm just excited to, you know, reunite with my boy.
We can do two more. We'll go Jonas and then Nikhil, you close us out.
Hey, Disa, congrats. I think Chop said during the pre-draft process that he was actually a Ravens fan. I know he obviously grew up in Maryland. Has he reached out to you tonight in any way to kind of extend his congratulations to you?
Yeah, he actually tried calling me while I was on this interview, so that's a big time to pick. I heard that back it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he's definitely, you know, excited that I'm in his hometown, you know, and he's birthing. And then now you're down in Miami. So, you know, it's a great day. It's a great day. Excited.
Hi, Adisa. Congratulations. Welcome to Baltimore. Obviously the Ravens have Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry now, strong offensive identity, but since the franchise was founded, really, it's been a very defensive-oriented franchise. How do you feel joining, and what kind of legacy do you want to leave?
It's exciting. Just it's all about being a Raven. I mean, growing up, you know, I didn't play football, Pee-wee. I started in high school, but the one team that I constantly heard was the Ravens, you know, Baltimore Ravens. And that was around the time where Ray Lewis was doing his thing. So, you know, it's a very historic franchise. And, you know, I'm just excited to join that tradition and, you know, just be the best player I can be and help this team, contribute to the team. You know.
So it's clear that the Ravens are excited about this second round of the draft. And as Eric DaCosta talked about Friday night, they feel like the board is falling pretty much perfectly in terms of how the Ravens are built, the needs that they have, and what it means for this team moving forward. Also, now they go into day three, having checked off some of the biggest remaining needs on this roster, and they have a lot of freedom and some picks on Saturday. So Eric can get creative about how he uses those picks, and we'll see what tricks he has up his sleeve Saturday afternoon as the draft concludes. Thanks so much for listening to the Ravens Press Pass podcast. Also head over to the Lounge podcast feed for full recaps of everything happening over the course of draft weekend. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.